following took place on Sports Radio 610 in Houston, Texas, USA. Earth.
Lynn Swann knows what it's like to have lockouts and strikes because he had them when they were fighting for labor agreements when he played for the Steelers. And Lynn, of course, was part of those great teams that kept the Oilers out of the Super Bowl two years in a row. And hate you,
we brought
but
that
admire
up,
you.
Yeah, why is he smiling?
So he got the ring. That's why.
Yeah, I guess maybe that is why I'm smiling. I know Renfro is probably saying, well, if they're going to have replay, how come they didn't have it then?
Yeah.
Maybe it would have gotten reversed.
So what does it catch? Touchdown or incompletion?
It might have been a touchdown. it was ruled an incomplete, so I guess it was incomplete.
We've watched that thing a million times, and I wouldn't bet my house on either way.
Yeah.
Well, besides that play, though, at the time, were you a replay guy? Did you want to see replay come into the National Football League?
I felt the replay idea was a good idea. Mm-hmm. Because there are plays in big games that come about that you would not want to have a bad call.
Yeah, right.
And, the officials do a great job. I mean, for not being full-time guys, okay, and we have to keep that in mind, these officials have jobs during the week, and they come in and they officiate games during the weekend. It's tough. There's a lot going on the football field.
Right.
These guys are trying to cover it all. So they may not be able to see it. And even with replays, the replay has to show enough and have evidence to overturn it. And if there are some plays where you're not quite sure, and you can look at the replays, and they're not quite sure, then the ruling on the field stands. Okay? It's not that the ruling was right or wrong, but it just stands because you can't find the evidence to overturn what they did. So I think it's good. I think it overall has been very good. To make sure that, when the game is played, the team wins because they put the best effort out there, not because a guy made a mistake.
We had Chad Ochocinco sitting right where you were earlier today, and it made me – watching you walk up made me think, you got Ochocinco.
Did he legally change his name now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm getting to. That's what I'm getting. Ochocinco, of course, Terrell Owens.
Can he bowl?
We're going to find out, aren't we?
Yeah, we'll talk about
we'll
your
get
bowl.
To that.
I want to have a bowling competition.
We'll get to that.
Terrell Owens and Chad Ochocinco and myself and all these
wide receivers. You've got a lot of good players coming to your bowling competition.
To see if they can talk the ball down to a strike.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. The heavy, strong personalities now, not so relevant, not so prevalent, I should say, when you were there. What's been going on with receivers these days?
I think receivers have always been a little bit more flamboyant out there. You call on them or key moments when everybody knows you got to throw to them, and they put themselves, in the football sense, harm's way, going across the middle, third down when, guys are aiming for you and trying to make sure you don't make the catch. You stand there on the outside for so many plays as a non-factor, then, you're called into it. Of course, today's game, they're not so much a non-factor. They're throwing the ball like crazy, but at the end of the day, maybe it's just trying to get a little more attention because quarterback gets all the attention for throwing the ball. Guy's got to catch it, and maybe if you're a little more flamboyant and you use social media, you get a better endorsement contract.
The game's so different now. Terry Bradshaw's career numbers, he's just +2 in the TD interception ratio. The lean early years had a great deal to do with that, but even 1979 Super Bowl winning season, +1 in the TD to interception ratio, but the rules are different, and that plays into it.
And we never threw the ball that much. Statistically, you look at it and you go, Terry Bradshaw doesn't really rank up there with a lot of the guys who are throwing the ball and doing stuff today. But he's, two-time Super Bowl MVP, a league MVP, won 4 Super Bowls. Come on, how good do you have to be? You have to be pretty darn good to make that happen. Even when you have 2 Hall of Fame wide receivers.
Right.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question, please.
Let's get that in.
I covered the Oilers during those years, and I wanted to ask you, Chuck Noll's got a salary cap. Swann or Stallworth, who goes? Lambert or Ham, who goes? Think of all the tough decisions he would have had to make back then when you couldn't keep everybody, even though you guys were the greatest dynasty in history, I believe.
Dan Rooney says he would have kept everybody. Of course, we know Dan's not telling the truth when he's saying that. But he doesn't have to worry about trying to prove whether or not.
Yeah.
No, you in today's game, you couldn't keep that team together. The team, we would not fit under the salary cap unless we truly just wanted to be in Pittsburgh. And let me tell you, John Stallworth always knew he was going to go back to Huntsville, Alabama, right?
Right.
And if the Atlanta Falcons were to offer John Stallworth an $8 million bonus to come there and play, and he's in driving distance from home, you don't think John would leave?
Yeah.
Of course he would.
That's a good point.
Of course he would.
We had Tim Brown on earlier. Tim's up for the Hall of Fame for the first time. Mm-hmm. And I'm on the committee and have been for years, and I know you used to get
tough
so
job.
Frustrated. It is a tough job. And the way, I don't know if anybody ever told you this, you know, first you had Myron Cope, then they had Bichette. And every year it was Swan and Stallworth. We thought y'all canceled each other out. So the way we finally did it said, we got to put one to the side this year, because if we focus on one, then we can focus on the other. So we put John to the side, and it worked. Y'all got him back perfect. And don't know why it took us so long to do that. But what would you say to Tim, who most people think is a Hall of Fame receiver, but Jerry Rice is coming up, Chris Carter, and plus you got to worry about other positions. What would you tell a guy like that about from learning from your lessons?
Well, I think all you do is you wait. You just handle it. You deal with whatever happens. Look at Andre Reed, who's been on that list. Mm-hmm. You know, you just wait. It's going to be interesting, and I don't relish the job that you're going to have to do this year and down the road. With the number of receivers, because, you know, when you start looking at it statistically, you know, it seems like everybody's got numbers. So the numbers aren't as much. They don't mean as much as they used to. When Steve Largent put up numbers on a losing football team and hard and making catches, things like that, those numbers meant something, you know, in those days. You know, I didn't have numbers, but I had key catches. And things of that nature. So all of that changes. But it's kind of one of those things where when you're at a charity event and you're bowling with the guys, as I will be on Thursday for the NFL Charities bowling event, you sit and you talk to some of these guys about these things, you know, while you're bowling, and people kind of eavesdrop on that conversation. And it's interesting some of the things that come out.
I want to get to that bowling thing for sure, because it's really interesting. But you said key catches, and that defines your career. And you think Super Bowl, you think your catch against the Cowboys. Is that the one you think of, or do you think that's your most key catch as a player?
I think my first catch personally was the first ball thrown to me my rookie year in the first game against the Colts, where I caught it, and it was a touchdown. So that was key to my confidence in moving forward.
Yeah. What about for the team?
My rookie year, I caught the go-ahead winning catch in the AFC Championship game against the Raiders.
Yeah.
And so I think back to that big game and being able to make that catch and moving it forward.
Everybody points to that one against the Cowboys.
Yeah, and even though in Super Bowl IX they never threw a ball to me the whole game.
Wow.
And so so I kind of laugh.
Think about that.
When guys, you know, you catch a winning pass and get there, you're wide open to play action because Franco's running the ball, but Terry wouldn't throw the ball. And you think about the guys, you know, and they're saying, they're complaining, you know, they're not getting enough passes thrown in their direction, not enough touches. They think they need to have 15 passes or something thrown in their direction for them to feel good about
this
it.
This is awesome.
I mean, you know, they threw 5 passes to me in Super Bowl X. I caught 4. I was the MVP.
Yeah.
When I say love you blue, what comes to your mind?
The other Phillips. Bum Phillips, you know. Hey, listen, the folks in Houston, you know, the Super Bowl is going to be in Dallas. I know that, and the Super Bowl has been in Houston. They got to come down to the internet, go to Arlington, and come to the International Bowling Campus there and check things out. You know, Jerome Bettis and I are in the Bowling Hall of Fame.
That's awesome.
That's not going to make the people in Houston feel good. But, you know, they can come down there and check it out anyway.
We will.
The Bowling Hall of Fame. So you're going to be bowling tomorrow night, okay?
Yes.
5th annual Super Bowl Celebrity Bowling Classic. This is pretty fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the guys are really into bowling. I mean, the Texans have a bowling event. Well, this is big with the NFL players.
Hey, Joseph Addai just said to me on the radio program earlier that last night he was bowling.
That's great.
And he says he's bowled to 289. Ooh. Very serious about his bowling. So, you know, it was pretty cool. A lot of guys, well, I remember doing the Monday Night Football game, and John Taylor was on the sideline. I mean, you know, getting ready to play the game. I'm on the sideline. I'm talking to John about this and that. John comes to me and goes, hey, man, hey, you know, you got to get me in one of these bowling events.
I'm about to catch the winning touchdown in a Super Bowl, but I want to talk about bowling.
I like to bowl, man, you know. So.
Lynn, we could spend all day. We know you have other places to go, but thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And you know, I think one of the best receivers in the league today is a guy who's playing for the Texans named Andre Johnson. I watched him and covered him when he played at Miami. That young man has turned into a super, super player. Quiet. You don't see him doing the whole thing about, you know, look at me, look at me. But every week, every day he plays a game, he goes out there, he gets it done. I know last year he was selected as the Alumni Player of the Year. I think the second year in a row he was selected as Alumni Player of the Year. So if you don't think former players watch those guys out there playing today and show how much they respect the guys who do it in a manner they think is correct, then you're not paying attention. Guys do, and Andre Johnson is one that does it well.
I think it makes the Houston fans really good to hear you say
Thank
that, Lynn. Thank you very much. Lynn Swann with
Thank
us on
you.
Sports Radio 610.